Parshas Vayechi has a lot of good things to talk about. I'll try to talk about as much as we can. Interesting Ha'ara they bring down in the name of Reb Steinman. He asks, why is it that when Yaakov gets sick, the Pasuk tells us that they have to send a message to Yosef that Yaakov got sick. So he quotes a Medrash that Yaakov and Yosef didn't live near each other. Yosef stayed in Mitzrayim running the government, and Yaakov lived somewhere else. So they had to send a message that he should know, by the way, Dad is sick. So he asks a very, very fundamental question. He says, can you imagine if we were in that situation where we waited for our father, we would have put our father right next to us. We'd move him into the office. This way he could spend as much time as you want with him. You can talk to him. You can bond with him. Why would he be so far away from his father to the extent that he had to have a messenger tell him that his father was sick? So Steinman says because Yosef was afraid. If he'd be spent too much time with his father, eventually it would come out that his brother sold him. And because they had this pact that they're not going to reveal what happened to Yaakov, he was afraid. He said, if I live near Dad or Dad lives near me, it's going to happen. Conversation slips and something is going to happen. It's going to be very bad. So he gave up on his own time with his father to bond, to catch up on all those years in order to ensure that the sale will not become public. And this is really something special about Yosef HaTzadik. You would have thought that at some point he'd want to catch up on all those lost years, but he figured it's not worth it. If potentially it can lead to my father finding out, he put his father further away. In the beginning of the parasha, it says that when he wanted to give brachas to the children, so Yaakov said, he didn't want to give them brachas, and Yosef tells him, "Bonai heim ashenosan li bozeh." These are the children that Hashem gave to me. So Rashi quotes a famous medrash that he showed him his ksuba. So when the Klausenberg Rebbe was 9 years old, and the Klausenberg Rebbe was in Ely, right? When the Klausenberg Rebbe before the war, so he got feher from the Atze Chaim. His feher was before his chasen, was every taisvus and shas. Every taisvus and shas was his feher before he got married. Today we're happy, you know, if the guy can say over shtekel Torah that he heard or read somewhere, we're happy. He had to say over every taisvus and shas. That's a pretty big madrigal. So when the Klausenberg Rebbe was 9 years old, they took him to a different Rebbe. And the Rebbe asked him the following question. Remember a 9 year old. Today a 9 year old only knows about, you know, how to use their cell phone, but a 9 year old. So he asked him at 9 years old, he said, where do you see that in the Pasuk? Who stayed in the Pasuk? We didn't see anything about Ksuba in the Pasuk. All Yosef said was him, Banai Heim Hashem Nasan Li Hashem Bozeh. These are kids that Hashem gave me. We didn't see anything about Shalom Ksuba. So the Klausenberg Rebbe told him like this. He said, Be'etzem, Yaakov's tying it to Yosef was like this. We know there's halacha, which we learned here, that in order to have Kedushin, you have to have two Edim. You can't make Chalosh Kedushin without two Edim, no matter how you slice it. So Yaakov was saying to him, there's no Edim in Mitzrayim. Where's the Edim Kedushin in Mitzrayim? So maybe you and your wife had a wedding and you thought you got married, but there was no marriage. You can't get married without Edim Kedushin. So Yosef's answer back was to him, you're right. Because the Gemara is a discussion. Why do you need Edim Kedushin? What happened to the girl's fashion rule called Hardos Badin Kim Edim Domi? The same way it works by Momonis. If I admit to you that I owe you money, I'm a Chayiv. It's got a whole D in how that works. If it's a namonis, is it a schayv, okay, whatever it is, but it works. If I walk over to another person and I say, I owe you $200. So I dos badin kimeidim, my testimony is like 100 witnesses. So why doesn't that work for a marriage? Because the Gemara says it's chav lacher. Because very nice, you want to marry this woman, but by you marrying, you're creating restrictions for others. She can't marry relatives and you can't marry her relatives. So said the Klausenberg Rebbe at 9 years old, so he told this Rebbe like this. It wasn't a problem in Mitzrayim. There were no relatives. Yosef had no relatives. She had no relatives. There's no chav lacher. So if there's no chav lacherim, you resort back to going with the rule of Hadas Baldin. So you didn't need Edi Kedushin. Where did you get that from? The word Pasuk Bozeh. Because the Mekar in the Torah, where we learn the din of Hadas Baldin, is the word Bozeh. That's how we learn the din of Hadas Baldin. So that's what Yosef was saying back to Yaakov. I don't need Edi Kedushin. Since it's not chav lacherim, I don't need Edi Kedushin. It's a shtickle Torah, obviously it's not going to hold up, but coming from a 9 year old, I think it carries a lot of weight. It's pretty impressive from the Klausenberg Rebbe at 9 years old.
Is that just a relative? Is it anybody else?
Yeah, again, I don't think this...
Leave the kid alone, right?
Yeah. So where did this story get very publicized? See, people don't know who publicized the story. You know who publicized the story? The first person to publicize the story was Abasha Weiss. He was the one to publicize the story. You go ask him about the story. But if you look, it's become another Svarim. They bring in the Shefach, another Svarim. But one of the earliest people to publicize the story was Rav Moshe Weiss. He has his own pshat. He goes on for a bunch of pages of how to get around this problem of where was the Edim in Mitzrayim. He has a whole different pshat. He has other pshat and how to get around. Okay. There's other pshat and they talk about what was the significance of showing the Shtag Suba. The Melchis Yitzchak has a nice piece. He says, what was the significance of showing the Ksuba? Because if Yaakov was worried about the Psulim, so you can have a beautiful Ksuba, they can still be Psulim. What does the Ksuba show you? Ksuba shows you they have nice Jewish names. That doesn't tell you anything about their background. So Mechitz Yitzchak writes in the Tshuva what he was trying to get out of the ksuba was because Medrash tells us that who was really his wife? He really married Bas Dina. She was really Bas Dina that came from Shechem. When Dina got nenas by Shechem, they had a daughter. That daughter they didn't want to keep around. So the Medrash says they sent her down to Mitzrayim. That's who Asnas was. So this is why he said, let's show the ksuba, because in the ksuba it's going to say her real name. And the ksuba is going to say Asnas Bas Dina. Even though she went by a different name, she had a different, you know, they didn't call her that, but in the ksuba it's going to say her real name. So then we'll know who she is. So that's why the significance of showing the ksuba is show the real name. There's two relationships in this week's parasha of two brothers that are extremely fascinating. One is Ephraim and Menashe, and one is Yisachar and Zevulun. Ephraim and Menashe, is something fascinating about that is that we know that in the Jewish home it's become a widely accepted custom. Exactly who originated the custom is a discussion, but there's a widely accepted custom. Many people bless their children Friday night that they should grow up to be like Ephraim and Menashe. What was so special about Ephraim and Menashe? Why are they the two that we pick? You would have thought, you know, your children should grow up to be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe and Aaron, they were a nice set of brothers. What's the special bracha that we give to our children about Ephraim and Menashe? There's many pshatim given. I think one of the simple pshatim is that, you know, Ephraim and Menashe grew up in a very difficult time. They didn't get to grow up in the house of Yaakov, surrounded by Torah, surrounded by mitzvahs. They grew up in Mitzrayim. You know, they were raised in Vegas, right? L'havdol, right? It's not easy to stay from in these types of places. You know, can imagine who their friends were, right? It wasn't exactly so easy for them. Yeah, they had a good father, Yosef, and they had a good grandfather. But to raise children in such an environment is not an easy thing. And that's why we give our children brachas. You know, we're not always so lucky to have wonderful environments, perfect environments to raise our children. And it's much more difficult to raise children in difficult environments. So that's why we make the bracha of Ephraim and Menashe, that they were someone special, that were able to be raised in a very difficult environment. Another pshat before I bring down is Ephraim and Menashe were the example of two brothers without sibling rivalry. Can you imagine being Ephraim and Menashe watching this whole thing happen? You know, you say, hey, Grandpa, what are you doing? Wrong brother, right? They kept quiet. Then afterwards, you think there'd be some fighting. Hey, what happened? Why am I all of a sudden a second-class citizen? What happened to me? Nothing, no such mention of any sibling rivalry between those two brothers. And that's why we give our children this bracha. The bracha we give because our family, Menashe, had something special. They did not allow the brachas to affect their relationship. Unlike their father, who didn't affect his relationship, Yosef, and the brothers had a very bad relationship. And the Rambam brings la halacha lemaisa. You should not supposed to show favoritism to your children. And we learn that from Yosef. Showing favoritism only ends up in a bad place. So Ephraim and Menashe could have easily have been caught up in this fight, and they didn't allow it to bring down the relationship. And that's why we give our children this bracha of Ephraim and Menashe. We know that Yaakov had to switch his hands to change around the order of the things. Really, Menashe was the Bechor. He should have got the right hand, Ephraim vice versa, and Yaakov switches it to make Ephraim first. What was Yaakov teaching us for future generations by switching the hands of Ephraim and Menashe? I think there's two pshatim one could suggest. We know Ephraim represents Torah. Ephraim sat and learned with Yaakov, while Menashe was not the one who was learning Torah. What was Menashe's role? So Menashe represented Avodah, because Menashe was the Bechor. Until the Chet HaEgel, the Bechor used to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So what was Yaakov switching with the hands? Yaakov was teaching his children, guys, you're about to go into Galus. A very long Galus, very painful Galus. What is the trick to survive in Galus? So he put Ephraim before Menashe. He shows it's the Torah before the Avodah. What does it mean the Torah before the Avodah? If you look in our history, when the first Jews came to America from Recife, Brazil, in the 1600s, so they came to America, and they built shuls and shuls, and beautiful shuls. Not a one yeshiva anywhere to be in sight. All they put were shuls. And you know what happened? Their children went off the derech they didn't end up staying from. Ephraim and Menashe is teaching us that you have to put Torah first. Until there were yeshivas in America, that was the first time America started to really continue to hold on to the next generation. Torah is important, Avodah is important, of course we need a daven. But Yaakov was giving them a tip. If you want to survive in the Gaza, you have to make sure Torah comes first. You have to build yeshivas, build Moistas HaTorah. Without that, it's not going to survive the Gaza. You can have beautiful shuls, and they were. Some beautiful shuls built in parts of the southern parts of this country at those years. But there was no king from them. Because we can't just have Avodah, we need to have Torah as well. I think the second lesson, Rabbi Fran points this shout out, I think it's very, very true. He says that Ephraim represents Torah. And what was Menashe? He says that at that time, Menashe was second to the king. Like another nice Jewish boy is going to be doing that job in a few days, right? Right under the Melech, right? Okay. So what was the significance of Ephraim over Menashe? So he was saying that what Ephraim over Menashe is telling us, of course, we need to have children that work, and we need to work, and we need to make money. But where's your heart? What's really important to you? Ephraim before Menashe means the Torah is more important than the job that we have. Yeah, we all need to work. We have to provide. We have to do what we need to do to survive and live in a world today. But what's really important to you? That's what I call your passion. What's really running through your veins? That's supposed to be the Torah first. So he says over Pshat, it says in the Gemara in the Darim that the reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is Shalai Baruch Hu B'Torah T'chila. So he says that doesn't mean we didn't make Berachas HaTorah. It means Shalai Baruch Hu, we didn't put the Torah first. When we used to give our kids brachas, it wasn't about you should become a Talmid Chacham and also a good and honest businessman. It was the other way around. So if we don't focus on the Torah first, it's not going to have Nitzchis. And also, the lesson of Ephraim and Menashe is that this idea, that we have to realize that yes, we need to do both these types of things in life, but where's our heart? What's important to us? What's important to us is the Torah. And that's very similar to another very important brotherly relationship at the end of the Parsha with Yisachar and Zevulun. I understand there was a fundraising done this Shabbos. I'm sure they spoke about this Yisachar Zevulun. A great Parsha to have to fundraise for Yeshiva is a Parsha's Vayechi. Yisachar and Zevulun gives... That wasn't fundraising? I don't know, just tell you. Okay, Gavalik. Okay, terrific. Even easier, okay? So we find a fascinating relationship between two brothers, Yisachar and Zevulun. Rashi brings down on the Pasuk, it says, Zevulun l'chayfam yishkoin. Zevulun was situated by the ocean. Rashi says, why was Zevulun by the ocean? In order so he can be busy with business, he did a lot of import-export, that was his business, and he could support Yisachar. If you look in Rashi, Pashas V'zayis HaBracha, Rashi is more mefurish, that there was a partnership made between the two of them, a real deal, signed up. So Yisachar and Zevulun, Yisachar is going to learn, Zevulun is going to work, and they're going to split what they make. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes in Simei Reish Mem Vav that you can make a partnership between two people, one be the Yisachar, one be the Zevulun, and they split their schar. The shach over there sounds like they split 50-50, which means, the Rav Moshe Feinstein learns it, it means that the one who works, the Zevulun splits half his profit with Yisachar. So if Zevulun is making $5 million, so half goes to him, and half goes to Yisachar. So Yisachar is going to be the richest guy learning in Kailul, netting $2.5 million. That's what Moshe understands it. However, so according to this, Yisachar also loses half of his Torah. So it's a little bit of a difficult situation to be put in. Most Mefarshim disagree with Moshe, and they understand that's not the way it works. Zevulun does not have to split half of his estate with Yisachar. He has to give Yisachar what he needs to live. And Yisachar does not lose his Torah. Most Mefarshim assume, or Chaim HaKadosh and others learn, Yisachar does not lose his Torah. He does not get cut short his part. But it's going to be, he gets, everyone wins in this partnership. Now, the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch that you can make such a partnership, and it's k'ilu you yourself learned. If Zevulun supports Yisachar, it's as if Zevulun himself learned. The Medrash says that when Zevulun is going to come up, and there's going to be people tumbling in Shemayim and learning, it's going to be, can you imagine, it's going to be, Chaim is going to be there, Shemishkab, Rebach, Ber, Salvation, all the great leaders, and says the Medrash, Zevulun is going to be there also, handling with Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon, how to understand Kinyanav. So Yaakov Kamenetsky says, there's a Pella. Maybe you want to give him schar that he supported her. How can this guy who sat all day long at a desk, crunching numbers, how is he going to be able to handle with Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon? He never learned any of their Torah. So Yaakov suggested beautifully. He says, we all know that we all learn Kol HaTorah before we're put into this world. Then we forget Kol HaTorah. Why? Because Baruch Hu wants us to toil in this world. So we work. We're omo to get our Torah back. So Yaakov suggested there's two ways you can be busy. You can be busy in learning to get your Torah back, or you can be busy in working to get someone else to be able to learn Torah. But you need to be omo, you need to be busy. So if you spend your whole day being busy at work, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, I saw your amelos, I saw your toil, I'm going to give you back that Torah that you had when you learned while you were still in fetus. However, if you're going to sit in this world and do nothing, then you didn't work at all, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it back to you. So Zazir Yaakov, that's why. If a person sits all day long and supports Torah, he can come back, Achamei Rasim, he's going to go up to Shemaim, and all that Torah that he learned by Me'imai, it's going to come back to him. And he's going to sit there with Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon and handling all the lumdises, and the guy never opened a sefer day in his life. Never learned anything. Amazing thought for Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky. Just to be fair, the Poskim suggest that being a Zevulun is not a hetter for not learning Torah. Everyone has to learn their own Torah. Everyone has a mitzvah to learn on their own. There's a sefer written by the Chafetz Chaim, a fascinating sefer, Shem Olam, from the Chafetz Chaim. It's a must-read sefer for anyone who needs to fundraise. It's not exactly a fun job for anyone to have to ever fundraise. That's always a joke. You don't want to become a Rosh Yeshiva because you don't want to become a fundraiser. It's not an enjoyable job. But he wrote a beautiful sefer called Shem Olam. In the introduction to his sefer called Shem Olam, this is the Chafetz Chaim talking, the same one who wrote Mishnah Berurah, where we hold everything he says, l'halacha l'maaseh. He writes over there a fascinating idea in his sefer called Shem Olam. He writes that there are many people who never don't have children. So what's going to be their legacy? What do they leave over? So he quotes and he says that there are certain mitzvahs that we do that gives us legacy. It gives us nitzchias even beyond our children. And he says, even if you have children, there's no guarantee that they're going to succeed. There's no guarantee they'll stay on the derech. So what can you do to have what we call nitzchias? So he says, one of the things you can do is support Torah. Says the Chafetz Chaim, when you support Torah, you are living and leaving a legacy. And he quotes Raya's all over. And then he goes on to discuss, and it's a beautiful, it's a small sefer, but it's beautiful, how he discusses the mile of those who support Torah. And he holds la halacha, chiddush. He holds that you don't have to do Yisachar Zvulun relationship. If you make a donation to a yeshiva that supports a yeshiva, that's also Yisachar Zvulun relationship. It doesn't have to be that you're giving Yisachar everything he needs to live. It's a chiddush. And he holds that supporting the idea of supporting Torah is so special. He writes, you get all the miles of learning Torah, you mekayim the mitzvah of Yigisa b'yom v'layla. Amazing thought. A person can work 10 hours a day, and he's mekayim v'yigisa b'yom v'layla, according to the Chafetz Chaim. He's mekayim Talmud Torah. He says it's all the miles of learning Torah applies to someone who's machzik Torah. Then he writes, and the same thing is found in a country's basically Chon Inspector. He says those people get supported in Torah have to have an unbelievable amount of hakaras to Torah to the supporters. You have to daven for them. You have to worry about them. You have to make sure they do well. So it's a two-way street between the Yisachar and Zevul relationship. But it's just a fascinating idea to imagine that a person could spend his whole life working. Two people could spend their whole life doing the exact same job, making the exact same money. And one person will come up, Achamei Basim, and have Nitzchias, he'll have what to show for it because he supported Torah. And the other person who kept the money for himself will have absolutely nothing to show for it. It's an extremely scary thought, but it's comforting to see the power of supporting Torah. But again, it doesn't belittle the idea of not learning Torah. I always tell if you could become a Yisachar and a Zvulun, that's the best idea. A person can learn Torah and support Torah, that would make a Kadosh Baruch Hu extremely happy. Just to say something for next week's parsha, because a lot of times we don't say things in next week's parsha. At the beginning of next week's parsha, there's a famous Bala Tur.
This last part brought to you by the Lakewood Shabbos.
No. This isn't. I don't. I work for myself. The Bala Turim writes at the beginning of the parsha, "Ve'ela Shmoyis bin Yisrael Rashi Tevis va'odam Hashalom and Hasayd Shtayim Mikra ve'chatagim b'kol Noim." Person who does Shtayim Mikra with a nice voice, Yasha Yichya Shnach Shanim Rabbis Aruchim Loilo. He's going to have many years. This refers to the famous Gemara in Brachas Taf Tes. If a person does Shtayim Mikra v'chatagim, he gets Arichas Yom. So a colleague of mine once asked me a very, very simple question. Why here in Sefer Shemais? Why is this the place to talk about Shtayim Mikra v'chatagim? Why now? You know, we're parsha behind, your whole Sefer behind. Now we're getting to Shiva Mitzvahim. Why is now the place to be Meramis to us this beautiful mitzvah of Shtayim Mikra v'chatagim? And he suggested the Pshat is because we're about to go into Galus. Sefer Shemais is the introduction to Jews in Galus. How do Jews survive in Galus? They have to have one common denominator. We're all doing the one same thing. We're all holding in the same place in Chumash. You stop a Jew on the train, you stop a Jew on the street. Nu, tell me about in this week's parasha. We're all learning the same parasha. We're all learning the same Chumash, we're all learning the same Rashi. It's something that unifies, which is really the motivation to start the Daf Yomi. This from Shtayim Mikra was really the push to do Daf Yomi. Instead of, we can all talk about the same Chumash, the same Rashi, we can all talk about the same piece of Gemara. So in order for Klai Yisrael to succeed in the Golos, we have to have something that can unify us. And this is something special like Shtayim Mikra v'chatagim, which is why right before we go into Golos, we get this idea, this mitzvah of being Mekayim Shtayim Mikra v'chatagim. I must put a disclaimer on today's share. My daughter, my baby, decided last night she doesn't want to sleep. She decided that Friday night also, which is why my wife stayed up Friday night. But last night she decided she doesn't want to go to sleep. Okay, so I figured what's a great way to get something to go to sleep? Learn with them. So I said, so I sat her on my lap. I said, let's try to learn a shtickle Rambam and Raivi, which we haven't. It didn't work. I don't know why. I think most people fall asleep. So Baruch Hashem, she decided she wants to be up till 5 a.m. this morning. So Baruch Hashem, she was up till 5 a.m., which means I was up till 5 a.m. So my brain is only working partially. So just bear with me if things don't make so much sense. If things don't make
sense.
Right. To say it's part of this Bala Turim. Yeah. So just bear with me through the sugya. Truth is, I do want to wrap up the sugya already. I want to get back to learning Gittin proper. We kind of got sidetracked for a while with Kinyanaga, which I think was worth it. As a Geshmak alum is a Kinyanaga, but I just want to wrap up. No, the rest of them are double-sided. One of them is like that. The rest of them are back-to-back. Not enough, okay? I never know how many to make. Okay, so we left off last week. We were trying to get into the sugya of understanding what we call the alumnus of Kinyanaga. Last week was a fast day, so whatever happened last week probably doesn't count either. What is the slumdus of Kinyan Agav? Where the Gemara makes a drasha from a pasuk in Navi that if you want to sell two things or acquire two things, both karak and metaltalin, so you make a ma'aseh kinyan on the karak and get metaltalin as well. So we talked a lot about when this applies, when it doesn't apply, but now we got to get into what we call the meat and potatoes of the sugya. How exactly does this work? So there's a very famous chakira that everyone attributes to Reb Chaim. He tells that he's the first one to introduce us to this slumdus of chakira of how Kinyan Agav works. Now, I think the way he says it might be different than the way the Stipler and others say it, so we'll look at both of them and see what exactly they're referring to. He starts the chakir like this in number one. He says, what exactly is Kinyan Agav? Is the pshat that the Maisa Kinyan that I make on the Karka, again, I never touched the Metaltlin. I have property and metalklin. I don't touch the metalklin. I have a piece of property. I make my kinyan on the piece of property. And magically, I get the property with the metalklin. Now, how does that work? So his first side of the chakir is why? That I make a maisekinyan on the maisekinyan that I make on the karka works for the metalklin. Thank you. V'hainu, what does that mean? There's more of a chiddush over here. Because one of the ways to acquire karka, let's say for example, is kinyan shtar. You write up a legal document and you hand it over to the buyer or seller, that makes a chalais. That does not work for metalklin. If I wanted to sell a person movable objects with a shtar, it doesn't work. Yet over here, when I make a maisa kinyan through shtar for the karka, that kinyan so... that... the maisa kinyan that you make on the karka somehow goes on the metalklin as well, which means you can have a situation where you can make you can use kinyan shtar to kind of metalklin. We all know that shtar never works to be kind of metalklin. However, according to Reb Chaim, he tells in his first sad, it does when it's in a way of agav. Somehow, when I do agav, then the maisa kinyan that I do on the karka is kiilu I made a kinyan on the metalklin as well. Again, it needs more explanation what these words mean. But okay, we're gonna try to. I'm going to try to shed some light. I don't know if we're going to be successful. We'll definitely try. That somehow the maisa kinyan that I make on the karka works for the metalton as well. So it's ki'ilu, I wrote a shtar for karka, and I wrote a shtar for metalton, and that's how it works.
Shtar for metalton doesn't help.
Exactly. That's the chiddush that normally shtar by metalton doesn't work. Somehow when it's done in a package called kinyan agav, then it works. Which we'll have to see why. That's sad number one.
Concept of shtar by metalton? I know we have
mshicha. Right, we don't. Pasha shtar only works by karka. Or any kinyan that's only clearly karka based. That's sad number one. Then he says, somehow, when you do it together, then it works. What's the other side of chakira? You're right. You can't use shtar to be kind metaltlin. The other side is, you're right. You get it anyways. Miraculously, you'll get metalklin, even though you never made a maisa kinyan on metalklin. You made a maisa kinyan on karka. That's all you did. You did nothing to affect metalklin because the maisa kinyan that you use doesn't work for metalklin. So you did nothing for metalklin. And still, somehow, you'll get the metalklin as well. So the simple way of understanding, I think, what we'll call his second side, is that there's no need for a maisa kinyan on metalklin. Why? So what one would have to say is some form of bittel. The reason why there's no need for another maisa kinyan is because it's like one big package. When you make one big package, you don't have to make a maisa on every single part of the package. It's one big package. That's the chayr of the words. Yeah, we're going to get to one in a second. That there's going to be a nafkamina and how to learn this in Lomas. The Divri Cheskel has a way of understanding a nice nafkamina, which will take us back to the sugya and gittin, which we talked a long while ago, and it'll bring us back to our sugya. But I still think the way Reb Chaim tells sets up, it needs a little bit more explanation. What's the understanding of the second sad that there's no need for a kinyan on the metatlan? Why not? There's no such thing as magic. The way things become acquired, all need kinyanim. Everything in the world gets transferred through kinyanim. So how can it be that I can end up owning a piece of metatlan without ever making a kinyan on the metatlan? Ah, good. So that's what we need to see. He doesn't really use those words, Reb Chaim tells. He doesn't use anything about pitel. That's why I thought number two in the stipler has a whole piece over here in Kilas Yaakov.
The first part is also magic.
Yeah, very much magic. I think both parts are magic. At the end of the day, we're going to have to swallow it and say, we're going to have to swallow. Oh, so that's good. The stipler is going to go that route and say, really, both sides have some form of bittel. Question is, what's the bittel doing? Again, at the end of the day, we're going to have to kind of just, you know, deal with it and say it's some form of a drasha, whether deraisa, derabanan, machlokes, rishonim, and we're just going to have to accept it. After all the lumnus, and I think there's rise in rishonim to a lot of these studim, we're going to have to at some point just say, you know...
What's the first side of
the other? The first side, the way he sets it up is that when I make a maisa kinyan on A, that maisa kinyan works for B as well.
Even though
normally it would never work. If I were just to do this without the karka, I would never be able to buy shtar. I would never be able to use a shtar to buy metalton. We're going to get to what the role of bittel is going to do. The second side, I'll just clarify, the second side is that you're right. I never did anything for the metalton. I made a maisa kinyan on the karka through shtar, which is fine, so I get the karka. So why do I get the metalton as well? So that he doesn't explain, which we need to explain. The other side is, you're right, there is never a maisa kinyan done on the metalton. You know, Jewish trivia. How can there be a situation where you can buy something without a kinyan? The answer is agav. I make a maisa kinyan on A, I get B also, even though I never made a maisa kinyan on B. That's the way the words sound like.
If you look in general into the lumnus of kinyanim, what do you need a kinyan for? Why does the Torah demand a kinyan?
Correct.
So, I mean, I'm sure there's many things that we've over the years discussed it also, yeah. But a basic understanding is that you need something to indicate
smichas das.
Smichas das. Right. So that's it. So once I do this thing on this karka, it's enough to indicate.
Good.
However you want to look at it, court, whatever you want, where you're going to.
That might be one of the southern. That
I
might
be enough to show that I am serious about this thing, and we both have a meeting of the mind.
But the simple rejection to that is about that shows I'm serious about the karka. It's no reflection of my opinion.
No, we spoke. Yeah, don't we have to?
Okay. Good. Okay. Now we're jumping ahead. Okay. We're going to get to it right now.
This is what we've indicated.
So the stipler in Kiyos Yaakov, this is a piece in Kiyos Yaakov, Chelek Aleph. Kiyos Yaakov wrote, obviously, on Shas. We know the stipler wrote on Shas. Then he wrote some other contrasim, we'll call them, where he discussed various topics. So one of them is Kiyos Yaakov. It's called, just not on Shas, called Kiyos Yaakov. And he has a beautiful piece on Kinyan Agav. So there he writes like this. I think he explains it a little clearer than Reb Chaim tells. He writes like this. Bekinyan Agav Shechit Shetayr Oitik Nuchazal. He's not getting himself involved in Machloikish Vishayim if Kinyan Agav Derais, or it's Rabbanan. We spoke about that a lot. He says like this: Im Hachidishu the Kivin Da Matatlan Tfeil Mahakarka Nechshovin Kaakarka Atzma. Is the pshat that since the Matatlan are Tufel, and obviously when you have property in Matatlan, for some reason the Matatlan will automatically become Tufel, even though the Matatlan could be more valued than the Karka? You can have a piece of land that's worth nothing, and you can have a metaltan that's worth millions, but for some reason the assumption is that the metaltan always become the tuffel and the ikker is always the karka. So what, says the stipler? Right, this is the first side of what we'll call Reb Chaim tells, that what? The Maisa Kinyan I do on A works for B. We asked, why? Says the stipler, I'll tell you why. Let's have a huge field, 20-acre field. You don't have to make a Kinyan on each part of the field. You make a Kinyan on one part of the field, and then you own the whole thing. Says the stipler. That's what happens by Kinyan Agav. The Metaltlin and the Karka become one big unit. You make a Maisa Kinyan on the Karka, and you get the whole package. But the reason why you get the whole package is because the Metaltlin become a part, an extension of the Karka. They become bottled to the Karka to the extent that they're now part of Karka.
Doesn't the Shvar describe the piece of land that you're...
Yeah, it does.
Just making a little piece.
Right. So the point is, I'm making a Kinyan on this piece of land. This piece of land extends. This piece of land extends. It's not just the square footage.
But isn't there a difference? One's one entity, one's a totally separate thing. It's like comparing apples.
So that's the Chiddush of Tafel. The Chiddush of Batel or Tfelus becomes now that you look at this piece of land as land plus Metatlin. It's like it grew a little extension.
No, but there's a difference when you make a Kinyan just on the little piece. Right. You're cutting the whole thing because that's one entity.
Right. It's also one entity.
No, it's not. It's two separate things.
That's the mile of Iker and Tafel. Iker and Tafel makes it one big entity. Think about it in Hilchos Brachos when you eat the cracker with the piece of fish on it. It's now one unit. So you made a Maisa Kinyan on one unit, you get the whole package.
Yeah, this is just. But there's always the same. So with the 20-acre field,
right.
So you're making a Kinyan on one corner of it, but everything is connected to the next, right. So it makes sense.
So here, that's
the Chiddush. It could be 100 miles
away. Ah, okay, good. That's what we still need to get to.
That's my question.
That's what we have to get to.
Set up the
That's right. We didn't get to the sugya yet about Tziburin, right? Okay, good. That's the next piece of Gemara. I was hoping to wrap this up today. I don't know. Okay, we'll have to see. But yeah, that's a good kasha. We'll have to second. There's a big gemara about that. We learned already, because I kind of spilled the beans, that we learned already that you don't need Tziburin, which means you can sell a piece of land in New York, sell Metaltlin in L.A., and somehow that's connected. That's very hard to believe. How do you connect those two things? So we'll see in a second that there's an amira that you can make that somehow can connect it. We'll have to talk about it. So this stipler, I think, explains the first side of Reb Chaim. He tells a little clear. Why would it be that one Kenyan goes for both? Because it's taka one big entity. It is one big piece. It's one big piece of karka. It's karka with metaltlin. You have to put on your lumdisha glasses and look at it as ikker and tuff. What's the other side? He says, Oi, today by the chiddush ha-teru shekivin shem metaltlin tzfeil in the karka, he's going that both studim work with this concept of ikker and tuffel. Chaim tells didn't sound so much like that, but he's learning that both studim have this idea that metaltlin is tuffel. So what? Nikten ha-metaltlin is eshekeines or ikker dainu ha-karka beloy shemaisa ha-kinyin. The other side is, I don't need a maisa kinyin on the metaltlin. Elo b'haknos ha-baylim b'lvad, just by the fact that the owners want to give it up. V'nimtza, and this is to me is unclear. V'nimtza shahasiba l'knois ha-metaltlin, the reason why you're carrying the metaltlin, hu chalois k'nias ha-karka, is the fact that you bought the karka. Sha'idei kein mahani haknos ha-baylim b'lvad. This side is very unclear to me what exactly he means by this. Right, he makes it sound a little like that you have gemiras das for the karka, and now you don't need maisa kinyan for the metaltlin. That's hard to believe, right? That's what we were just talking about 2 minutes ago. Right, that's what we were just referring to. I don't understand this other side so well. What we'll call the second side of the stipler is that because the karka is the ikka and the metaltlin of the tuffel, so now the pshat is, you no longer need a maisa kinyan on it. Why not? Well, how exactly do I transfer it? So he uses words over here that...
The, Let's say I talk to want the just the karka. It happens to be that there's metal in there, but I don't want it. Do I have to have a negative?
Okay, so we're going to talk about that in a second. That according to this understanding that it's working with this whole package deal, how far is this going to go? Let's say, for example, I don't want the karka. I just want the karka so I can pull off an agav. What happens then? I don't really want the piece of land. But I know I got to get you the metaltlin. I need to get you. Where did this come up? It came up on our Gemara in Gittin. We had a Gemara in Gittin a long, long time ago, believe it or not. I have to remind ourselves we're still learning Gittin officially. I have to look at the emails. We're still officially learning Gittin. So in the 8th parak, we had a Gemara. The Gemara talked about a case where they had to get a get to a lady because her husband was about to die. So how do you get to get to her? So the Gemara said, Kinyan Agav is how you get to get to her. Now, this man had no interest in giving his wife any property. That was not the idea. She didn't want to own property. She just wanted metaltlin. So the chap of the Gemara was, how am I going to get the metaltlin to her with Shabbos? That was a whole problem. So the Gemara said, do Kinyan Agav. Now in that case...
It was on her property.
What?
No,
the get was in his property. So, right? So we had to be. So he gave her the property, and then she got the get and the property together with Kinyan Agav. Right? What? So that's the kasha. So we'll see in a second. The Divrei Cheskel says, one second. How can you do a situation where the karka is not really what you wanted? How can he have a case where you're going to have Kinyan Agav where it's almost the reversal? Practically, it's working correctly. But in the lumdis, it's not like that. Okay, good. So let's get to that.
Torah's perspective, metaltlin is always, by definition,
I don't remember.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll see.
Wasn't the issue there that he needed to give her the get?
Right.
So he threw the get into her property so that she could have agav.
That was before.
Okay,
that was before.
So now he's throwing it to his property.
Right. Now, the problem was...
She's got to go to his property.
Right. The problem was it was Shabbos. Yeah. And there's no way to move the get. And therefore, we had
he
to...
He
was dying. It was Shabbos. So how are we going to get the get into her possession?
So what do we do?
So we went... She moved over to his house.
Right.
She made a Maaseh Kinyan on his door.
Right.
So she now got the house and the get that's in it.
And the get was somewhere else.
No, it was in
the get was in
house.
His possession. In his property.
House.
The get was in his front drawer. So right. She went into his bedroom, she made a nice Kinyan, she closed the door.
Why don't you just make a Kinyan on the get?
Good, right? That was Rishonim's kasha.
Why'd you need the car?
Right, that's Rishonim's kasha. Rishonim answered because they want to limit the obviousness of Kinyan on Shabbos. I mean, if you walk over and pick up the gets, everyone's going to see, oh, Chel Shabbos, he's being Kinyan on Shabbos. Closing a door, normal people close doors. It's not such an indicator of Chel Shabbos. That's what Rishonim pointed out over there. So that's why we'd rather Kinyan Agav, even though that's also the Rabbonon, as opposed to making an open Maaseh Kinyan. In any case, we're being, I guess, some form of alumnus over here to how exactly this Kinyan Agav works. So points out the Divrei Cheskel, says the Divrei Cheskel, he also, again, everyone catches on to this Chakira, we'll call it from Chaim Tells and others, about there's some alumnus of Tfelos over here, Iker and Tafel. So he suggests a novel idea which comes back to our Sugi. He said this. If the lumbus of agav is that the Torah views metaltlin as tofel, secondary to the karka, and therefore it's like one big piece of property. Why? To have tofel bottle of ikr. You can't just buy the property to use it to make Kinyan Agav. It can only be viewed as an ikar and tofel when you're buying both. You want both. So then there's some lumdis that one becomes ikar and tofel to the other. However, he says, he thinks in that lumdis of ikar and tofel world, if you don't really want the karka, then you can't say the metaltlin becomes tofel to the karka.
That'd be the application of the Gemara.
Sorry, that's why I'm bringing up this Divrei Cheskel. This Divrei Cheskel wants to suggest if you learn the lumdus of ikker of tofel and ikker into Kinyan Agav, it would not apply to a case where you're only doing it to do Kinyan Agav. Why is this relevant? Because if you go back to the Gemara in Gittin, we had a big machloekis with Rishonim. How are we going to get the get to her? Rashi was the dasi yochid by far in the Rishonim that you used Kinyan Agav. All the other Rishonim learned it was chatzer. She owns the backyard, the gets in her backyard, everything is good. So everyone asked, why didn't they learn Kinyan Agav? So the answer is, according to the Divrei Cheskel, it's beautiful. You couldn't have learned Kinyan Agav, because there you had no interest in the property per se. You didn't even want the property. She didn't want the property, he didn't want to give her the property. He gave her the property just to be able to pull off Kinyan Agav. So to Divrei Cheskel, in that case, you can't have Kinyan Agav.
The mechanism works in that fashion.
So that's what he's saying. He's saying if you go with that side that's in the Tafel and Ikar realm, Itaka has to fit that narrative, so to say. It has to be in the case of Tafel Ikar. But he flips it.
Say that halachically, that
I think...
I think that's probably going to be Rashi's.
That's going to be Rashi's defense. I think. I think Rashi's defense, if he wants to work with his Devi Cheskel, he's going to say it doesn't matter. It's intrinsic. It is. Betzem Metalton is always secondary to Karka.
Value and intent is irrelevant.
Right. Right. I think that's going to, and that could be a very fundamental machloekes Rishayim. Lefi what we're saying, that could be the underlining machloekes between Rashi and everyone else to learn Agav to learn Chatzir. It might be told in this Chakir, but he continues the Devi Cheskel.
Avlam is totally on the guy's das.
That's, I think, debatable. I think that's what Al Zeh, I think that's what we're going to fight about now. Is it?
You're learning Tefillah and Ikkar from somewhere else. Not,
correct.
Okay, so by
exactly Brachas, where we learned in the first place is us. It's part of the circle.
So
where
Brachas of Tefillah and Ikkar is 100% totally on the guy's dad.
There are certain things that are Be'etzim Tefillah and Ikkar, even in Hilchos Brachas. Yeah, I think depends on the scenario. Again, here we're working with the precedent of a pasuk. We're trying to fit it into understanding what the Torah of the Navi was referring to. So I think it might be Machlokes Rishonim. I'm okay with saying it's Machlokes Rishonim. But he finishes up the Devi Cheskel. He says,
Devi Cheskel,
yeah, yeah. Devi Cheskel was a Rosh Hashiva. No, that's not. That's Chazon Yecheskel. He would appear Shantei Sefta. This Devi Cheskel is by Bronstein. He wrote. He lived the later Achron.
Right.
He said like this: Avli name of the Ikra the Kinyan Agav.
See,
I got to learn history here also. Okay, granted, last night when I learned at 2:30 in the morning, you can't learn Torah, so I decided to study up on Jewish history. I figured it might be a key Talmud Torah anyway. So I was really learning up about different people, Maharami Rutenberg, the Vilna Goyim, a lot of interesting historical bits of information that hopefully one day I can put to use. But in any case, huh?
Your daughter like that?
No, not at all. She was very unhappy with that. She was not happy. Okay. Aval im name of the ikra de kinyan agav umitam da knos akark choshe maiz de kinyan al matalpun zokta divi yecheskel geshmak. But if you go to the other side of the chakira, that it's not working with ikra and tofel. Again, how that fits with the stipler's narrative, I'm not sure. But if you go with the way he says it, the other side of the chakira is that kinyan agav umitam da knos akark choshe maiz de kinyan al matalpun. Somehow, some way, when you make a maiz de kinyan on A, that maiz de kinyan jumps and functions for B as well. However that works, I think it needs explanation. Then he says, in that case, it doesn't matter what your thought process is. It doesn't matter. You made a maaseh kinyan A, you get B. It doesn't matter why you want A, why you want B. So the way he sets it up, the Devi Cheskel, it's totally in the Chakira and how kinyan agav works. If it's working with Ikar Tofel, or it's working with maaseh kinyan A works for B, that's going to affect whether or not our Gemara and Gittin can have kinyan agav.
Even though the stipler kind of explained that the way it
works right. It's always going to be Tofel Veikar. Now, there's an interesting shayla in the Rishonim. Can you be kinyan karka agav karka? About karka agav karka. We never spoke about this. What? Let's say you have two pieces of property. You want to sell it, right? One property in New York, not near each other, right? Two different properties. You make a maaseh kinyan on one property, you get the other property.
Why can't you just put in the shtar both pieces of property?
I guess you could. In theory, you could. It'd make life a lot easier. Let's say the guy wants to, he didn't. He wants to make a chazaka. Uh-huh. So he makes chazaka on one. Does he now have to walk around the block and close the other door? Uh-huh. So this is not discussed, to my knowledge, anywhere in Gemara. This is interesting, brought up in Rishayim. It's brought down the halach and Shulchan Aruch. So the Shitun Lelei starts off with this question, number four. He said, the Tzorachin, he asked an agav by karkoi, b'shum duchta. Do you find anywhere agav by karka? Karka being nikna agav karka. Do you find such a novel idea? So now l'chayra, right, let's work it out with what we know. L'chayra, if the pshat has to do with some form of ikar and tuffel, karka can't be, two pieces of karka, no ikar, there's no tuffel.
Why, one's better than the other?
Maybe, but again, that always takes us back to the fundamentals. You can have a piece of karka that's worth less than the metaltel, and it will still become ikar and tuffel. It's a din, it's be'etzen. For some reason, the way we make up karka and metaltel and karka is always viewed as more important. So the Shittim Lezimi says like this, Nira deloy mahani agav, ela b'metalteli agav mikarkoi. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I believe the only way Kinyan Agav works is metaltlin with karka, meaning karka is the main, metaltlin is the side.
That's what we saw in the
pasuk. Why? The metaltli loy chashivi v'nigrorin agav karka. The words he uses are because metaltlin are not important and they get schlepped along with the karka. Those words sound a little bit to me what we were talking before about tuffel and ikar. Meaning you can tell me that this becomes part of this because it's not so valued. But if you have two things of equal value, how do you know who's one, who's two? They're both equally important. So I don't think it's muchach either side of the chakira. I think one could still kvetch into the shittah, even if he wasn't going with the lumnus of tafel v'ikar, he's still saying, however you're going to work this out, somehow one kinyan goes to the other because they're somehow viewed as one big thing. When you have two pieces of property, what makes them two one big piece? They're two independent pieces.
Relative to this, relevant to this question, can you be, let's say you can't do that. You can't do this because they're not. So if you're buying karka with kesef, you have to give a pruta. So if it's two different properties, do I have to give two prutas? Or can I say, well, it's a package, I can identify this piece property, that piece property, that piece property.
That's a good question. I'm not
I
sure.
Can give one pruta for everything, or do I have to say each one is a separate thing?
Yeah, I would assume, based on what we're saying now, that wouldn't work.
I'd have to give one.
Unless you somehow deem it as one big, yeah, I'm not sure. Now, we'll see in the Gemara, there are ways of grouping things. Even without actually being next to each other, by saying things, you can group them. Maybe that'll be the same thing for Kesef.
What about the fact that you can't be much, you can't be kona karka agav metaltala?
You want to
work the other way, right?
Right, right, that's for sure.
So is that a proof that karka is intrinsically...
Right, right, I think you're right. We spoke...
Otherwise, because if you said that it was based on intent or value,
right.
Why not?
We spoke about the Gemara in Kiddushin a few weeks ago, where the Gemara had a Havamina, that when you buy a wife with the money, you get the money and the wife. Right. So there the Gemara had a possibility that Kinyagav works the reversal. It means you get the metalta and you get the karka with it. And the Gemara said, no, it doesn't work that way. So we all tumbled. Everyone was saying, well, what's the lumnus and what's the lumnus? The verse says, don't worry what the lumnus is. It's Havamina, the Gemara rejected it. So you're suggesting you see from the clearly it can only go one direction, but you don't necessarily see you can't go karka to karka. It's in logic. So that's what the Shita Lemi says. He says, look at the Mishnah, look at the Pasuk. If you look at the Mishnah, you look at the Pasuk, it always refers to it going one way. It goes karka to metaltlin. So you'll tell me, yeah, because that was the storyline. Mechate said that's the only way it could be. You'll tell me, well, because that was the storyline. But I think you have to come into the lumnus that he throws in. He throws in two things. A, in lumnus, it doesn't make sense because he thinks that metaltlin are nigrar agav karka and not karka. Secondly, he says, well, look at the Mishnah, look at the Pasuk. Now we'll see in a few minutes how the Pasuk might be so lav dafka, it's unbelievable. But in any case, he thinks that there's no heichach. I'm just bringing out the Shita Lemi because I think in lumnus it plays an important role. When we're talking about the lumnus of kinyan agav, I think you have to get into figuring out how would that affect karka if it does affect karka. If the lumnus of kinyan agav has to do with batal, tafel, and ikar, then I think it makes a lot of sense to say it shouldn't apply by karka. If the other way it works, that it's somehow a maisa kinyan for A works for B, so you have to tell me the same lumnus that only works when you package them, somehow you can't package these two things. Okay. This was the easy part of kinyan agav.
Yeah.
Right now, okay, great. So let's see right now. Mamish, right now. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Chav Zayin, number 5. The Gemara clears an interesting shayla. The Gemara finishes off saying, Loi be'inin tziburin shemamina. You don't need tziburin. Tziburin means you don't need the metaltlin to be piled up on the karka for kinyan agav to work. The Gemara has a blot and a half long discussion of, in order for kinyan agav to work, does it have to be piled up? So the Mishnah will ask, one second, if it needs to be piled up, who needs kinyan agav? It can be kinyan als chatzar. Right, so we spoke a lot, right? 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 We spoke about all the answers to why that's not true. But that's the big discussion over there in the sugya. So the Gemara comes out after a blot and a half of back and forth, Brises and Mishnayis, that you don't need Tziburim. Okay, good, you don't need Tziburim. So therefore, the karka is in New York, Metal is in LA, no problem, Kinyan Agav still works. So now, obviously, our alumnus has to be a little bit reconfigured. Like, how does this work now? So Bishlam, if it would all be piled up, I hear, okay, Geshmak, piled up, you look at this one big entity, Tafel and Nickel, all the Torah we said. But now you're telling me I can have a property in another part of the world. Not anywhere near this property. I make a nice kinyan on this, and somehow I get metaltlin sitting in some guy's office. That's a little stranger, so to say, in how that works. So the Gemara tries to clarify. Iboilu, clear the Gemara shayla. Mi be'inan agav oiloi. Do you have to say the words agav? Do you have to speak out when you make this purchase that I want to sell you the land? Agav the metaltlin. Or metaltlin agav the land. Why such a havamina?
As opposed to what?
As, that's a machlokes Rishonim, we'll get in a second. As opposed to either saying with, or say nothing. Well, again, not say nothing. Saying no specific words that implies togetherness, but knowing that you and I both know that you want to make it somehow a package deal. The Rashi, I didn't photocopy it, but Rashi learns who would do this talking? The Moicher. The Moicher would be the one making this reciting, this statement. Now, if you remember, a few weeks ago, we spoke about a Ketzois. The Ketzois had a whole discussion whether or not you can do Kinyan Agav when there's no Makneh. It's just you by yourself, a case of Nichse Hefke. So how's the Ketzos going to deal with this Gemara? How can you have a Meicher say Agav? If you need to say the words Agav, there's no Meicher here. So how's that going to work? So the Ketzos himself is going to answer that. Well, we have it on the next page. We'll see how the... Maybe, depending on what the role of this Amir is, which we have to get. So Gemara calls a Shaila, do you need Agav or not? Toshma, Gemara brings a Rai, Diktoni, Kolhani, Vlikotoni, Agav. In all the cases, the Brice, it never says you have to use the magical word Agav. In fact, Gemara, Tamich. Kani mikatani. In all the cases, the Nevi says the word kani, that I want to buy this and this. Ella ad the omar kani. Of course, you have to say the word I want to buy. So hachanami ad the omar agav. Here also, you have to say the word agav. So the Gemara conclusion: the hilchasa halach is tziburin loy binan. The Gemara chazers again tziburin, which many point out. We finished tziburin. Why are you repeating this again? We just read it on the top of the line. Loy binan tziburin shmamina. The Gemara repeats it again. That's obviously going to tell us something indicative of this Gemara. Bazar the Gemara tziburim. You don't need. Agav ukni be'inan, but you do need agav ukni. So if you want to sell two pieces of things, metaltlin and karka, you have to say, I want to sell you the karka and be kind of the metaltlin agav the karka. You got to use the word agav. That's the maskanos hagemara. But they don't need to be in the same location.
The maskanos hagemara is you need an amira for sure. Also.
You need an amira, but you don't need sibur. That's the maskanos hagemara by us. Now, the ritva brings over here number 6. He says, umistavra the agav mamish beinon. You have to use the word agav. You can't say the word with. You can't say the word im. You have to use this magical word agav. Why? Veloisagi beloshen im. It's not enough just to say the word im. You can't say im. You have to say agav. Umasnisen denaka lishna de im. I owe those mishnayis that use the word im. Ihu mishtoi sheniknu elu im elu biyachad dahainu ba'agav. Okay, let's put that line aside, what that means. But then he brings another opinion. V'yeshayim rim, desagi ba'am. You could say im. You could say im. Im is okay. So what was the Gemara Shaila? What else are you going to say? The Gemara wants to know, can you say im or can't you say im? If you don't say with, what's the other word you're going to use? Elo d'loy leimo. You can't say metatle umikarkoi. You can't say the word metatle and and. It's either with, but not and. So Ritzvah is a machloikis v'shoinim over here. Machloikis v'shoinim, what is the hakpod of the Gemara? What's the magical word you need? Is it the word agav? Or is it the word with? Now this sounds to be such a non-lomdash machloikis over here. Come on, what are we fighting about? With agav, this seems to be a game of words.
Why can't it just be, why is the not entertaining the possibility that it's not saying anything? You need agav,
as opposed
to saying
that. Again, you have to make sure someone knows what's going on.
Possibly, we discussed it before.
Possibly,
we all know what we're doing.
Possibly there's some form of idea that we're all on the same page. If you look in the Sma, number 5b, the Sma explains, why do you need to make an amira? Why do you even need an amira in the first place? Very funny Gemara. Gemara walks in with that. Well, why do you need that at all? So the Sma writes in 5b, the Omar knei lecha hakarka, uknei lecha hametaltlan imoy. You need to say, I want to sell you the land, and the metaltlan with it. Why the hatam near? What's the reason? Mishum the loshen imoy mashma da ashnei b'shavakoy. What's wrong with the loshen imoy? Why would the Ritva say it's got to be agav not imoy? What's wrong with the word if or with? He says the ashnei b'shavakoy kinyan ze v'zalei mahani. Because the word with sounds like they're both equally important. They're with, it means they're all one equal partners. It's not true. V'zalei mahani, that's not true. They're not equal. Right, one's yikr, one's a tafel. So you have to use this magical word called agav, says the Sma. When you use the word agav, then everyone clearly knows karka is yikr and the metatlan are the tafel. That's the words of the Sma. So we have a machloikis rishonim. Do you need to use the word agav, or can you even use the word im?
So it's a specific mechanism. Now you probably don't need them all piled up either.
Exactly. That's the flow of the Gemara. The flow of the Gemara is now that I just told you, you don't need to pile them up, but the Gemara was bothered, but still, how do you connect it to? So that's the Gemara, then you need an amir. So the question that we'll have to see in the Rishonim is, what happens if they're piled up? Do I still need an Amir when they're piled up? Now that I have them together, is there still a need or is still a requirement for an Amira? If the whole Amira was just to bring them together, I brought them together physically.
Yeah, but that's not what the Amira is not to bring them together, but to designate that the Kinyan of the Karka
good.
Is the vehicle by which
good.
You're being Kona,
good.
The Metaltalin.
Very
so
good.
Whether it's Siburin or not, you still have to acknowledge that that's the vehicle.
Beautiful. That's a very serious thing, Machlokes, Rambam and Ravid, which hopefully get to today. That Mamstat Nakuda. Is the Gemara telling us that the whole role of Amira is just to put the two together? So if I physically put them together, there's no need? Or Amira is playing a much deeper role in how Kinyan Agav works? Hopefully, Bli Nether, we'll get to in a few minutes.
Why can't we say
yeah?
If you have to. It would suggest that is actually the Kenyan.
Zuck the stipler number 7.
Why can't
you say very good.
The Amira is the Kenyan? Why is nobody entertaining that possibility? Maybe normally you don't have an Amira as a Kenyan. Here's the new Amira. The Kenyan Agav is accomplished just with the Amira. That's the Kenyan.
That would be a Chiddush. I'm not saying you can't suggest such a possibility. You want to suggest there's no Mice Kenyan. It's through Amira.
That sounds a little bit like that
stipple in the second side. But no one else seemed to assume like that. Everyone assumed you need to have a Maisa Kinyan somewhere. The question is, how do you connect?
According to the stipler, it shouldn't be a problem.
Very good. Says the stipler, number 7, he thinks that this Machloikis Rishainim is telling the Lomdis of how Kinyan Agav works. So how's he set it up? He says like this: L'chayr ha'inira the yesh v'zeh machloikis ha'bishayinim the haran b'kedushin. The haran b'kedushin brings from Rashi. The Rashi holds the davka loshen agav mahani. Rashi's opinion is like the Ritva. You can only use the word agav v'loy loshen im. It's not clear where Rashi says that. Rashi by us is not mefurs like that at all, but everyone tumbles about where they saw this in Rashi. But well, Naniach will trust the Rishonim that it's true that Rashi is like the Ritva, that it has to dafka be the Loshin Agav. V'ra'ah Savar, and the Ra'ah disagrees, the Ra'ah who is the Rebbe of the Ritva, the Ra'ah holds the Gam Loshin Im Mahani, that even Im works. So Machoikis Rishonim. Umbitam b'shitas Rashi says this type of what's pshat in Rashi or those Rishonim that hold it needs to be with the magic word Agav. He quotes the Sma that I quoted, Shem Deloshin Imei Mashem Dashnei Mishavikoy, and that's no good. Says the stipler beautifully. If you use the word im, it sounds like the same action, the kinyan that I'm doing for A is working for B as well. The zayna, it's not true. That's if you hold like the second sad. And those we show him, behold, you can use the word im. Why can you use the word im? Because it is together. Because the kinyan that I do for A works for B also. Or goes on to B as well. So, therefore, it's not a problem.
Well, you could just say the fact that I have to say im shows that there is a chilek between the two items that I want to get.
Could be.
In other words, if I didn't have to even get to the level of being makshiv that I need a kinyan to get these metallics, I'm taking the character. So just pronouncing the word im shows that I needed to do something. I don't know why anybody would have such a problem with it. That shows me there's a chiyah to do something regarding the metallics.
And I have to somehow connect the two things. And the word im is sufficient to prove that point that I want to connect it to. Yeah, I think that's a pshat. According to these Rishonim, you don't need to overlumdicize this, right? We just need to get... So what happens? Why is the Ritva case of you can't say metaltle umikarka?
I can't say... actually is a slight level above it.
That's where we're going to do it. That's where the Rishonim are dealing with over
there. I just said im, how would I know that I can make a kinyan on the metaltle?
Because the idea of im sounds like that they're both together. That's the way, again, that's the Sma's reading, and the stipe is working with the Sma's reading. Again, we could, take out a dictionary and really break down the word with and im and how all these words mean what they mean.
Because with identifies there's another item. So
right. I think that's part of the debate. Agav definitely gives an impression of... Right. That's the idea. That's the idea of the Sma. The word Agav definitely implies a lower level relationship. That's how the stipe understands this machlokes. It's interesting, if you look in Ramon Shulchan Aruch number 8, the Ramon writes, V'yeshoim rim, tebe'inan dafka loshen agav. You need to use agav. Aval im loy mahani. Can't use im. V'yeshchokim b'gdam both machoyiks b'shoim. Frektis sma, gevalda kakasha. He quotes over here, Ubi'ir Shushan. Okay, the city of Shushan. Okay, the Jews live there still. Hechriya kedas acholkin. He agrees with the Yeshchokim that you don't need to use the word agav. And he brings a beautiful raya. He says, look in the pasuk. Where's the source for this whole tumult? Right? Sometimes we get so overcooked with the lomdus, we forget the alphabet. Where's this whole kinyan I've learned from? Look at the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Vayitalem avim atonos, but im ore mitzurus." It says the word im. So how are you getting all over lomdus size? You need agav, blah. It says the word im in the pasuk. That's where we learn it from.
That's describing it. That's what the kinyan does.
Zok the sma. So this is what they tanned in Shushan. In Shushan, they came to the conclusion that not like Rashi. They hold you don't need him. You don't need agav. All right, look at the pasuk. So he says over here, Elosh is Elosh and Amikum is Elosh and Rabban. So maybe you can tell me that no, it's not a raya. That's Elosh and Amikum. This is Elosh and Rabban. Veloy dok. So this man, he thinks they're not correct in Shushan. Why does Verosh tikshu lenafshe? If you're so convinced that that's the answer, Ma'i boyle sham la Gemara. If you're so convinced in Shushan that you don't need him, so what was the Gemara even thinking? What was the Hamamina? But the Gemara didn't know this. The Gemara didn't know there was a pasuk im in the Navi. If you're so convinced that the pasuk itself is allowed to be medayik literally, so how do you even learn the suffix of the Gemara? The Gemara had to think something. So the easy answer is that was good for the Gemara suffix. The Gemara suffix is, do I take the storyline literal? Don't I take it? And the Gemara's answer was no.
You do take it.
Depending on how, right. Then you need agav, which means no. You need to have more than just the line of the Torah.
What about the Torah?
Right. That's also the question. Again, the pasuk is telling us a storyline. It's not telling, it's telling us a maisa shahaya. Now we spoke a lot about how much are we medayik in the story. We said the story was when someone sold it and someone bought it. Well, who gives you the right to take that
but
much out of the story?
Even part of the, if the story was saying that they acquired it, and this is the lotion that they
right?
used agav, then you would
so
say
that's part of the Sma's defense.
Yeah, they're just saying that this
the
is
Sma comes to that defense. The Sma says, don't bring me any rights from the Psukim. The Psukim is just telling you what happened. That's the Sma. Yeah.
Why does this matter?
Why does what matter?
Usually, going all the way back, when did we start talking about mirrors? All the way back, we were in Perushin and we were in Gittin. Okay, we talked about mirrors for the reason that there was a concern
in terms of what the intent of party A versus party B, okay? And even when we got into formulaic language as it related to conditions, we went back to Ephraim Menashe and the conditions.
Mishpatei Tanoim, yeah.
Right, okay? And that was important also, because there's a question in terms of, here, I'm selling you X and Y. Between you and me, whether I'm using him, or whether I'm using another one, between you and I, we agree that I'm selling this. There doesn't seem to be a reason that we're creating a significance to the language.
It's a very fundamental question in the sugya, which is funny. You think more people would discuss it. What's the whole role of the Amir over here? What's it for? What's it doing? So I think the answer to that is, Talin HaMachloikis Rishonim. If you quickly go to the next slide, I really want to wrap up the sugya today, so we're really going to have to rush. The Machloikis Rishonim is in the Rambam and the Ravid. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, the Rambam describes how does Kinyan Agav work. So the Rambam says, Hamakne karka metaltlan keechad, you makne one package, kim shekoyne karka bekesev ebishtar bechazoko, since you make a Kinyan on the karka, you get the metaltlan as well. Says the Rambam halacha tes, Bamedvar memurim, when is this true? Kishayu oisa hametaltlan seburim ba'oisa karka. When does this chap called Kinyan Agav work? That if the metaltlan is piled up on top of the land. Avam hoyi b'makam acher, but if the metaltlan to be another location, tzorech sheyoyim alo koni metaltlan agav karka. Then you have to say the magical word called agav. Now he happens to have it as agav, not as im. But the Rambam says, then you have to use the word agav. Afilu hoyi metaltlan b'din acheris, even if the metaltlan will be in another location, v'omru lo koni oisam agabi karka ploinis, kimin shekona hakarka nikna metaltlan. Says the Rambam, if they be in another country, as long as you said the word agav, you get everything together. Frek the Ravid on the Rambam. What are you talking about? The Gemara says not like you.
Right.
The Rambam learned the Gemara, and the Gemara reads, the Gemara's answer like this. You don't need Siburim, but you need to make an Amir. Says the Rambam, depends. If it's on the property, then you don't need any Amir. So like the Rambam, if it's not Siburim, then you do need an Amir. Frek the Ravid says, the Shmait Alei Mirzi. You don't see that in the Gemara, Frek the Ravid. So that's the answer. The way the Ravid seems to ask on the Ravid doesn't seem to have a problem in Lomdus with the Rambam. His problem sounds to be like it just doesn't read well in the Gemara. How do you fit into the Gemara? The Ravid's kash on the Rambam is when you go back to the Gemara Kedushin, you read the Gemara. Talk to the Gemara. Hilchos at Siburim Leibinon Agavu Kni Ubinon. Siburim Leibinon, that's not really true. That's not the point. The point is that sometimes you need Agavu Kni, sometimes you don't need Agavu Kni. The Gemara doesn't read simply like that. So the answer for the Rambam is going to be the Rambam will tell you, no, you misread the Gemara. You have to read the Gemara like this. The Hilchasat Siburim Leibinon. So you don't need Siburim. So when you don't need Siburim, then Agavu Kni Ubinon. That's why the Gemara repeated itself again. Why did the Gemara bring back this term called Tziburim Leibinon? We already finished saying, because the Rambam wants to show the contrast. That you don't need Tziburim, but when you're not going to use Tziburim, then Agav Ukni Binon, then you need to use Agav Ukni. Now, that's the simple understanding for where the Rambam was coming from.
Tziburim is an Agav then, or is it?
So that's the kasha. So according to the Rambam, what happens when it's piled up on top?
Is it agav or is it
chatzah? So some of the noise that came on the Rambam suggest that in that case, you know why you don't need Amira? Not because Agav doesn't need Amira. It's not Agav. It's Chatzar.
But you can't, but that goes against the thing that
so there's a couple of problems. Problem number one is if the Rambam with the whole like this famous Shach that you can't do Kinyan Chatzar, if it was there before, it wouldn't work. Secondly, as the Kesef Mishnah points out, this Sugya is not in Hilchos Chatzar. If the Rambam was in Hilchos Chatzar, so he could bring me a halach in Hilchos Chatzar. This is Rambam in Hilchos Kinyan. He's talking about Kinyan Agav. According to that reading, you're telling me it's Kinyan, it's Chatzar, it's in the wrong place. That's kasha number one. Kasha number two is not every time can it be a good Chatzar. Chatzar needs to be Mishtameris. Mm-hmm. Just because I put my, again, everything's on my property and I'm in another location, it's not Mishtamer. Mm-hmm. So how could the Rambam leave it so open to say it's Chatzar? So most Achrayim don't think the Rambam means Chatzar. So, which means he means Kinyan Agav, and the way some Achrayim say is the Rambam has two types of Agavs. Yeah, he had Agav with Siburin and Agav without Siburin. Now this all, Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, and I'll leave you to figure this out, is all really telling the old Chakir. This all takes us back, but Mr. Zalman points this out. This really should take us back to understanding the lumness of Kinyan Agav. If it's working with Batol and Tfeil and all these other things, so then we understand the difference why Siburin makes and the role of Agav Ukni. If the whole idea is that according to the Rambam, you want to make it one big package. So when I put it on the karka, I made it one big package. Or I use my Amir to make it one big package. The Ravid might tell you it's intrinsically one big package, but etzem it becomes tafel. So therefore, you don't need it to be tzibur, and the way you make it a tafel might be through the Amir of Agav Ukri. That might be one of the ways of learning it. Just lafizeh, what do you do by hefker? So I tell you, by Hefka, you're right. The only time you can do Agah Behefka, if it's Siburin. Because then you don't need an Amira. It's automatically one entity. So Zaktik Tzoy, the Gemara Baba Kama that we started off with 3 weeks ago, that told me you can use Agah Behefka, was talking about a case where it was Siburin. So when it's Siburin, you don't need an Amira, the Tzoy, so Shitasai, and therefore everything works.
Because the Amira is from the Melchor,
not. Right, exactly. And therefore, there's no Melchor, you don't need an Amira. Next